coast to coast all across the United States and Canada. This is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank serves as president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry that is here because truth matters. If you'd like to talk to Hank, then call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as we start out the broadcast today, I want to say just a couple of words about the Legacy Reading Plan. We'll be talking about this a little more tomorrow, but this reading plan is an innovative approach to reading through God's 66 love letters one book at a time, and to do so for the rest of your life. It's strategically designed to empower you to eat the proverbial elephant one book at a time, and specifically formulated to make your time in God's Word the best it can be. And the reason I want to highlight this at the beginning of the broadcast before we go to questions is that we at the Christian Research Institute this year have purposed to combat the problem of biblical illiteracy. And it all begins with you. We can talk about statistics, biblical illiteracy on a broad scale, but the question is, are you getting into the Word of God? Are you getting the Word of God into you? If Christians genuinely love the Lord, they're going to love His 66 love letters etched in heavenly handwriting. So I want to exhort and encourage and implore you to get into the Word of God. The Legacy Reading Plan is unique in that it requires you to process books of the Bible rather than piecing together bits of books, as we so often do. And the goal is to comprehend the essence God is communicating by reading each book as a whole. It's essential to read through books rather than bits, but it's also helpful to read biblical authors sequentially. And that's why the Legacy Reading Plan is grouped by author. And that's particularly helpful because even though the biblical authors wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, their personalities and their proclivities are clearly evident in their writings. The reading calendar is naturally segmented into seasons, and the seasons into months. So at the beginning of each year, you know that during the winter, your focus will be on the Pentateuch and poetry. In spring, the historical books. In summer, the prophets. And during the fall, the New Testament. And then each season is further broken down into months. Thus, every January, your goal is to read through Genesis and Exodus. And every December, you read through the Synoptic Gospels and Acts. And there are times when you're going to naturally read 10 chapters at a time, and other times when you'll read one or two. But more importantly, you will read the Bible just as you read other literature. I was talking to one of my colleagues just before the broadcast, and I said, "Where are you in Genesis?" And he's already on chapter 20. I'm only on chapter 11. So I'm reading through Genesis a little more slowly than he is at this particular point in time, but it is because I have been captivated by certain passages within the book of Genesis that I'm trying to understand, I'm trying to dig into, I'm trying to internalize. I'm particularly fascinated by the book of Genesis, and so will you be. But you can read through it at your own pace. Just read Genesis this month along with Exodus. It will be a blessing to you. All kinds of questions are going to pop up, and then you'll have the intoxicating privilege of digging into God's Word. It is a lifelong enterprise, and I'm going to be 60 this year, but it's more invigorating and inspiring today than ever before. Each year, as you walk along with the Lord, gets better than the year before. He doesn't ever give us a panacea, but he always gives us peace in the midst of life's storms. I just got back from the West Coast, where I participated in a funeral for a friend of 15 years, and once again recognized the mortality of people in general, how paper thin and fragile our lives are. And I was reminded of Psalm 139. In fact, I quoted it at the funeral. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. And then these words, you hem me in behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. We have a great God. We can have an intimate personal relationship with him, but it necessitates spending time. Can't have a great relationship with your wife and kids unless you invest yourself in them. The same is true with our Heavenly Father. Well, a lot of calls hanging on. Your call today when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And we'll go right to those callers right now. First up is Daniel, listening in Brooklyn, New York, on WMCA. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing?
I am wonderfully well. Nice talking to you.
All right. Same here. I just want to get into it. I know you have a lot of callers and not that much time. I have a particular issue that I would like your opinion on. I have your resource, Essential Christian Doctrines, and I pretty much know where you stand pretty much on Essential Christian Doctrines. That's pretty much what binds, well, that's pretty much what keeps all of us Christians together, whether we may be Catholic or Baptist or whatever it may be. And with secondary doctrines, that's something that we can debate vigorously, as you say, without dividing over. But I have a particular issue with my church with this deliverance theology, and I've called you about a couple of times at least on this particular subject, but I've reached the point basically where I'm thinking about leaving my church on this particular doctrine. I see it is pretty much embedded in their mindset and how they go about ministry and the different things that, you know, this the programs when it comes to either the youth or doing things in the community or things like that, and what comes over the pulpit and what's being taught in Sunday school. But I know it's a secondary, even though it's secondary, it's very important as well. But I would like your opinion on my thoughts of perhaps finding another church because of this particular problem.
Yeah, Daniel, you obviously feel very strongly about it, and I think rightfully so. I wrote a book about this subject because I feel strongly about it as well. I do agree with what you said, however. It is a secondary issue in the sense that I have brothers and sisters in the Lord who may debate this issue with me vigorously, but yet we are one in Christ and will spend eternity together. But I much prefer a discipleship model as opposed to a deliverance model. I think ultimately, as I wrote in the covering, it's about the spiritual disciplines. It is not about deliverance. We need to involve ourselves in the spiritual disciplines very much as Paul articulates or lays out for us in Ephesians chapter 6. So I think this could be one of those areas, particularly because you feel as strongly about it as you do, that you may want to look for another healthy, well-balanced church. Again, to the broader audience, I would say this is a transcendently important issue on a lot of levels, particularly in that we live in an epoch of time in which pop culture beckons and postmodern Christians take the bait. We want easy solutions to complex problems. So we're apt to say, I have a demon of lust, and we have our demon delivered, and we don't really deal with the root problem. There are no magic cures, and we can't obfuscate, and we can't simply say, we don't have any responsibility for our lustful life because it was a demon, the devil made me do it. No, we have to exercise the spiritual discipline so that we can be Christ-like. It takes more than mouthing a moniker. It takes more than glib statements. It means that you grapple with the spiritual disciplines that Christ modeled for us in his earthly sojourn. Much more on that, Daniel and everybody else listening in my book, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. If you don't put on the full armor of God, you're impotent in spiritual warfare. If you do, you are always going to be victorious in spiritual warfare for one basic reason, and that is the power of God to protect is greater than the power of Satan to pillage. Back to the phone lines. Let's talk next to Charles, listening on WORD in East Liverpool, Ohio. Hi, Charles.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for receiving my call, Hank.
My pleasure.
I'm going to ask you about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that dwelt in Jesus when he received it on the baptism by John the Baptist, is that not the same Holy Spirit that we have that empower us like it does Jesus, where Jesus was not subject to any man to teach him? It was the Holy Spirit that taught him all there is to know about salvation and guided him. Is that not the same Spirit that's supposed to teach us likewise, that we need not any man to teach us, but the Holy Spirit teaches all things like Christ says?
Well, yes. Yes, and emphatically no. And what I mean by that is, on the one hand, I certainly believe in the New Testament principle of the priesthood of all believers, which is to say that all of us as believers should be involved in prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the Word, particularly proclamation as encouraged in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We all should be witnesses for Jesus Christ. We all have the infallible repository of redemptive revelation at our fingertips, and we can dig into the Word of God. But we are also humbly to consider ourselves pygmies standing on the shoulders of giants, which is to say that there are people who have spent a lifetime digging into the Word of God. I think of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, often referred to as a prince of preachers. When I read his sermons and his commentaries, I gain a tremendous amount, and I realize he has grappled with the text in a way that I have not had the opportunity to grapple with the text that he happens to be having a particular insight on. And the reason for this is think about this for a moment. Charles, I'm 60 years old, and if God gives me good health, maybe I'll live to be 80, maybe 85, but our life is 70 years, if by reason of strength, 80. I have a big family, I've got a ministry, I have a lot of obligations. I have only limited amount of time, even if I would use half my day every day, to grapple with the Word of God. The Word of God is a treasury that is replete with riches that exhaust a lifetime, and that's why we can learn from others, and where we have to have a humility, recognizing that people have mined the Word of God, and they have been able to extract from it, therefore, what the Holy Spirit has placed in it, which is what's called exegesis, taking out of the Word of God what God has placed in the Word of God by His Spirit. So it's a discipline that takes a lifetime, and therefore we can learn from others, and we dare not say, me and my Bible, and that's sufficient. Certainly it should be you and your Bible, but to suggest you can't learn from others, particularly gifted pastors or gifted expositors, I think is a very dangerous place to be.
Jesus said that the Holy Spirit going to teach us all things. It's like it taught, him.
Well, why are you calling me and asking me a question if the Holy Spirit has taught you all things? You wouldn't need my advice.
The reason I call you, Pastor Hank, is that I wanted you to be honest and tell me that you don't need any man to teach you. The Holy Spirit going to teach you all things.
I will never tell you that. I will never tell you that. And the reason I will never tell you that is the Holy Spirit within me gives me insights into the Word of God. But it takes a lifetime of discipline to know how to read the Word of God for all it's worth. And I certainly have not arrived. I need other brothers and sisters that are gifted. And I would refer you, and I'm sorry I have to move on because we come up to a hard break here, but I would refer you to Romans chapter 12, where you should not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. And Paul goes on to say, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ we who are many form one body, each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts. Some people have the gift of prophesying, others the gift of faith, and others of teachers. And we should learn from those who are so gifted. Again, we'll be right back with more of your questions in just a moment.
Hank Hanegraaff has created the perfect tool to build and pass along your spiritual heritage. It's the Legacy Study Bible, designed to give you some of the same insight and understanding you receive from Hank on the Bible Answer Man program. The book introductions are all written by Hank using his well-known acronym, LEGACY, which stands for Location, Essence, Genre, Author, Context, and Years. With timelines, charts, an extensive concordance, four-color maps, and much more, the Legacy Bible is available only through CRI. Order your copy today. Also, for $250, you can get a personalized edition from Hank. Just call 888-7000-274 or look for it online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay with us. The Bible Answer Man will continue. Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The 7-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to our website, www.equip.org. Register soon, as cabins are limited.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Hanegraaff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. The Christian Research Journal is the premier magazine covering relevant and current issues on Christianity, faith, ethics, religious movements, philosophy, and so much more. Recently on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, joined Hank in the studio to discuss the latest issue, which includes a special five-part article re-evaluating our views on the local church. This issue is available in print or digital format, or you can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal at equip.org. You can also call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Let me just piggyback on what you said. I'm very passionate about the Christian Research Journal. We live in an era in which there is a great lack of discernment even within the body of Christ. And so we have to, particularly as those who are defending the faith, learn how to separate between wheat and chaff and heat and light. We need to learn discernment skills. The Christian Research Journal will teach you to do just that. In our reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee, is a great primer in this direction. It's titled We Were Wrong. It is provocative but very important and strategic. So get your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. You can do it via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. On the World Wide Web at equip.org, or when you speak to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. And for the first time ever, this unique edition of the Christian Research Journal is available anywhere in the world immediately for downloading in a digital format. Or again, as I mentioned earlier, you can order a printed copy for delivery in the United States and Canada through our e-store at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Brett in Oregon City, Oregon. Hi, Brett.
Hi, Hank. How you doing? God bless.
Thank you.
Hey, my condolation to your friend in passing, too.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Hey, I was listening to your commercial just real quick, and, you know, about this thing about being God. I read a book, A Wonderful Deception, by a guy by the name of Warren Smith. I thought was quite interesting. But anyway, I appreciate the attitude of carefully discerning scripture and whatnot. I'm excited because I just found an old one of the first revised standard, real old, you know, in a Goodwill store today, you know, and I thought that and I got a hold of it, and I was just kind of excited to get that. But my question for you is you know, I'm being aware of I understand and believe that, you know, as far as the Great Tribulation, that there was a 40-year span, which all that fulfillment took place, up to 70 A.D. And it makes it pretty clear that, you know, it makes it very clear that Scripture can see that as having been prophesied. There was a book, I don't know if it was by Spurgeon or Sproul, called The Last Days According to Jesus, that that caught my attention. He referred to Nero when it came to the mark of the beast kind of thing. And anyway, just to get to the point here, my question is, though, I can't help but wonder, is it possible that Scripture could have a twofold kind of reference regarding a great tribulation to the last days, to where it can repeat itself with any of that prophecy at all, do you think?
Well, that's an interesting question. By and large, I don't hold to the notion of double fulfillment as some do. I much rather think of what's called typology, so that there is a prophecy in the Old Testament. It is fulfilled in the epoch of time in which the Old Testament prophet is speaking. That's how you can judge whether a prophet is truly a prophet sent from God. He becomes accountable for his prophecy. But then the New Testament writers look back on these prophecies and they see Jesus Christ as the antitype, fulfilling all the types and shadows in the Old Testament, such that these prophecies ultimately point to King Jesus, the Redeemer.
Right.
So I like to think in terms of typology as opposed to double fulfillment. But I think with respect to the tribulation, it's only when you grasp the reality that Revelation was addressed to seven historical churches that were located in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. Are you going to fully appreciate that the Great Tribulation within its pages has to do with the destruction of Jerusalem and the very temple that gave Jerusalem its theological and sociological significance? And I think we should be mindful of the fact that the ghastly terrors of Revelation are called Great Tribulation, not just because Jerusalem and the temple are destroyed or because of the massive loss of life, but because the beast of Revelation purposed to destroy the very apostles and prophets who formed the foundation of the Christian church, of which, of course, Jesus Christ himself was the chief cornerstone. Sure. So the Great Tribulation instigated is an archetype for every type in tribulation that follows before we experience the reality of our own resurrection at the second appearing of Jesus Christ. And so I think we have to understand the Great Tribulation in that context. And this, again, I would say, Brett, involves learning how to read the Bible for all it's worth in general. If you don't understand literary genres or figures of speech, you'll get very confused quickly reading the Bible, because when Jesus talks about the Great Tribulation, then there'll be Great Tribulation unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, never to be equaled again. You have to stop for a moment and scratch your head, as I did when I was first memorizing that passage. Now, how can Jesus call that the greatest tribulation that anyone will ever face, when in the Old Testament, Yahweh, the God of Israel, talks about the exile, particularly the Babylonian exile, as the greatest tribulation that his people would ever face? If that was the greatest tribulation, how can you now have a greater tribulation in the future? Doesn't make any sense, unless, of course, you understand prophetic hyperbole and literary genres, as I said. So again, I think this is one of those great questions that impels us to learn the art and science of biblical interpretation, an art in that the more you do it, the better you get at it, but a science in that there are principles or rules involved, and we must not neglect those rules, and we do that to our own chagrin and demise in terms of our capability of understanding God's 66 love letters etched in heavenly handwriting. I've written about this in my book, The Apocalypse Code, so I'll leave it at that. We'll move on to our next question, which comes from Eddie. He's listening in Oklahoma. Hi, Eddie.
Yes. Thank you for having me on your program. Hey, my battery on my cell phone's low, so I might lose you. But my question is about Matthew 5, verse 31.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain that to me?
Sure. You're talking about the passage on divorce?
Yes. Does it mean that it says that whosoever's put away his wife, saving the cause of fornication, now does that mean that she's already committing adultery, so you won't her to if you put her away, or does that mean it's okay to divorce her if she's doing that?
Well, I think you have to start with a more global perspective on God's laws with respect to divorce and his principles, his precepts, what God wants. God always wants restoration. He hates divorce.
Right.
So that's the overarching principle. So adultery breaks that trust and breaks that relationship, and God gives us a prescription within the context of human failings. But yet, if you read the didactic, the teaching portions of Scripture that that contextualize the narrative portions of Scripture, you realize immediately that if you're married to someone and that person is a believer and that believer wants to stay in the relationship, you shouldn't leave. You
right.
should stay in that relationship and work towards reconciliation.
Right.
So what is your question then?
Well, I was just wondering if you're in a situation where your wife has committed adultery, fornication, then is it all right to put her away, or should you, she moves out, she doesn't want to have anything else to do with you. When do you say okay and you give her?
Well, only from the hardness of your heart, but if she leaves, you are not bound in that circumstance. But if she desires reconciliation, then you should offer reconciliation, because that's the ultimate good. That's the greatest good principle. Forgiveness, however, is always a two-way street. It takes someone who is wanting to be forgiven and someone who is willing to forgive, and that's how reconciliation takes place. So the greater good would be restoration. This is particularly true because in our particular culture, people are looking for all kinds of ways out of relationships as opposed to humbly seeking God's best for someone else. We're always looking for our own self-aggrandizement, for making me happy, but it's in giving that you receive. It's in suffering that you are made more like your Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Regina. She's listening in Carroll, Illinois. Hi, Regina. Hello, Regina. I think we might have had some technical difficulties here. Let me mention the Word Cruise coming up May 9 through the 16th, 2010. So it's not all that far away. This year we're doing a Western Caribbean cruise. To participate in this event, you must register with Sovereign Cruises. You can do so at www.equip.org on our website, or by calling 877. A big long number. I don't know if you can remember, especially if you're driving right now, but it's 877-768-2784. Let me say that again. It's 877-768-2784. And then you dial extension 101, just like when you take an introductory course, 101. You can also register online, as I said, and it's the easy way to do it. Just go to our website at equip.org. This is a wonderful time, not just of luxuriating, as it were, in the Western Caribbean, but in intimately involving yourself in Bible instruction and teaching. This cruise is called The Word because we are going to be focused on the Word. We're going to be in the Word. But register soon, as cabins are limited. This year, as always, Grammy award-winning Christian musician and my good friend Steve Camp will lead us in worship, and that is a treat that I look forward to every single year. He's a great friend, but I'll tell you what, I'm mesmerized as he leads me in worship into the presence of the precious Holy Spirit, so that we worship God in spirit and in truth together on this cruise. Again, all of this coming up in the very near future, May 9 through the 16th, so register immediately. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Register for the cruise. It'll be an experience of a lifetime. You can find out more about it again on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Right at the break, we'll be right back with more of your questions. People calling in from all over the world, you don't want to miss this next segment as we take more of your questions right here on the Bible and Spin broadcast.
When was the last time you stopped by our brand new website? It's easy to find at www.equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you can listen to current or past broadcasts of the Bible Answer Man. Sign up for free podcasts, learn how to connect with CRI via social media, order products and materials you hear about on the broadcast, and get expert analysis and reliable research on cults, teachers, and religious movements in our world. It's also a vehicle by which you can contact CRI directly or give a tax-deductible donation to our ministry. It's the wealth of research you would expect from the Christian Research Institute. Again, the address is www.equip.org. We'll return with more of the show right after this.
Is there scientific evidence for intelligent design? Are scientists being silenced for advocating it? Those questions and more are explored in the provocative new documentary movie, Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, starring actor and writer Ben Stein.
91% of Americans believe that we were created by God, yet that belief has been completely shut out of any scientific discussion of the origins of life in schools. But new science is showing astounding evidence of a designer, and that science needs to be seen and heard.
Expelled exposes the modern-day witch hunt in which scientists and teachers are persecuted for questioning the theory of evolution. Stein confronts the world's leading atheists and Darwinists and uncovers their hidden agenda to suppress the new science that points to evidence of a creator. Expelled.
Order Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, featuring Ben Stein on DVD from CRI by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
Investors are concerned that there's more bad news.
Calling for an end to U.S. military operations.
The world is glued to the news headlines, anxiously awaiting what the future holds. So it's up to believers in Christ to be prepared to give well-reasoned answers about what lies ahead based on sound Bible doctrine. That's why The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff is such a vital resource for your library. It covers today's most asked prophecy questions and reveals why answering them correctly matters so much in today's world. The Apocalypse Code will resolve many questions regarding the mysteries of the end times and help you give an informed answer for the hope that is in you. All you really need to know about understanding Revelation is what the rest of the Bible says. So order your copy of The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or look online at equip.org. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
This groundbreaking special edition of the Christian Research Journal focuses on a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Is it cultic, aberrant, or just different? This special edition of the journal includes Elliot Miller's incisive analysis of the doctrine of the Trinity over and against the heresy of modalism. Also enjoy our regular departments like effective evangelism, reviews such as Dr. Stephen Meyer's important book, Signature in the Cell, our viewpoint regarding abortion and the healthcare debate, and our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
If the Bible Answer Man has ministered to you, you have our faithful donors to thank for that. We regularly hear about changed lives and people equipped for good works through what God is doing through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. The continued regular, prayerful, and financial support from our Bible Answer Man monthly support team, the CRI Fellowships, and the President's Council is what keeps the Bible Answer Man on the air on this station. If the program has meant something to your life, why not call us and join our team? When you partner with us, you'll also receive special benefits. To join or find out more, our ministry phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. And of course, you're welcome to join the team online on our secure website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And just a couple of testimonies of people that are listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's one from Amy. I started listening to Hank many years ago when I was just a teen. I have always appreciated Hank, his patience with callers, even when their minds were already made up before they called in the question. I had been unable to listen for many years, but I can now listen again and realize how much I missed hearing the broadcast. I contributed to CRI just the other day because I know that this broadcast and ministry are so vital for our time. Very interesting testimony. Right now, as I sit here in the studio, we're on more stations than we've ever been on. But that is a temporary situation if we are not able to raise the kinds of resources necessary to be on all those outlets and stations throughout the United States and Canada. So the participation of the Amys of this world is deeply appreciated in a ministry that by God's grace is bearing abundant, abiding fruit, a ministry very necessary because we need discernment skills now more than ever before. Here's another testimony. Melanie, I thank you, Hank, and all who make it possible to hear your broadcast regularly, which helps your listeners wrestle with questions and by the Holy Spirit work through the Bible. Ministries such as yours bring clarity, direction, and light in a dark world. Thank you for speaking out, wisdom that comes from the one true God, in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Melanie, and for those that support this ministry. And let's go back to what we do, answering your questions, demonstrating that the Christian faith indeed shows real resistance to scrutiny, which is to say, the more you look at Christianity, the better it gets. It is historic and evidential, and it stands the test of faith and reason. Corey next in Oklahoma, Oklahoma. Hi, Corey.
How you doing, Hank?
I'm well, thank you.
First and foremost, I'd like to say thank you for giving me this opportunity to ask this question. Me, myself, personally, I just joined a church as of yesterday. I've been doing some church searching, and I'm glad to say that I finally found the one that best for me. The question that I have for you, Hank, is I've been asking a lot of different Christians this question. I've been asking a lot of different pastors this question. I can't seem to get a direct answer, and I'm starting to feel like it might be because the people I ask don't have the right answer. I'm a culinary arts instructor. I work with a lot of youth, and I'm seeing a lot of youth starting to get in trouble for marijuana use. And in talking to the youth, I can tell them, you know, reasons why not to do it, you know, because of legal reasons, which is obvious. But I would like to find out what reason makes it a sin. You know, I know that the Bible talks about your body is your temple. And, you know, when I tell them that, you know, they're like, well, we take aspirin, we take Lortab, you know, we take different things that's been proven to be bad for our body. What's different about that? And I'm stuck because I don't have the right answer, and I'm not able to get the right answer to give the answer, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do, Corey, and I think it's a rather simple question to answer, and you've already partially answered the question, which is to say that if you look at Romans chapter 13, everyone must submit himself or herself to the governing authorities. And the truth is that smoking marijuana is illegal, and therefore, it is also sinful for us to engage in this illegal behavior. Now, that's something you touched on, but I want to say something that I think is more salient to the whole issue, and that is marijuana puts you in an altered state of consciousness, which is the opposite of being alert and sober-minded or alert and self-controlled. And if you look at Scripture, Paul is emphatic in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert. Let us be self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled. Now, just as alcohol put you in an altered state of consciousness if you have too much alcohol. So marijuana can put you in an altered state of consciousness. So unless you're using it for medicinal purposes and it's prescribed and it's legal, as Christians, we should not imbibe.
So does that actually make it, I'm not saying better, but does that actually make a difference that if you're using it for, you know, like you said, for medicine, that that make it different from it being illegal? Because, you know, I do know that alcohol is legal, but I do know a lot of the problems that, you know, we see in today's world from alcohol use. So does that make it not a sin if it's used for, you know, medical reasons?
But again, you have to take into consideration both parts of this equation. One, the issue of legality, where we're supposed to submit ourselves to governing authorities who don't always get it right. And secondly, we want to make sure that we're not working ourselves in an altered state of consciousness on the pretext that we're using this for medicinal purposes. So if you do this, you have to do this as a Christian living within a culture. Again, I'm never going to do anything that the government says that defies the laws of God. If the government tells me to smoke marijuana until I get an altered state of consciousness, I'm going to say no. But I am going to live within the law, particularly as that law can be understood within a Christian worldview. So the government's not asking me to smoke marijuana, but on the other hand, it is prohibiting the smoking of marijuana because the government views it as being dangerous. And I would agree. I think that marijuana is a hugely abused substance, particularly in the younger generation. A lot of kids are smoking marijuana, see no problem with it whatsoever. It's very dangerous. As the father of 12 children who have a lot of friends, I know the absolute devastating impact of this particular drug. And to equate it with aspirins is a category mistake. Aspirins and marijuana are decidedly different kinds of drugs. Fair enough.
I got you on that, man. I needed to get information in order to give information. Like I said, I've been asking a lot of different Christians and a lot of different, you know, pastors, and nobody has yet to say, you know, that I believe this is a sin. You know, I've heard, well, anything that you abuse can be a sin, and, you know, the only reason that it would be a sin is that it's illegal, and if it was legal, then it wouldn't be a sin. And I'm like, well, that's kind of confusing. You know, I really just need a straightforward answer, because, you know, I've been reading the Bible. I haven't read the whole thing, and I've been asking because I like to find out. But I haven't seen, you know, any word where it says exactly that you shouldn't do that. I do know that I have seen, you know, in the Bible where they talk about wine and, you know, things of that nature, that, you know, don't put that before, you know, God or whatnot. You know, it probably wasn't in the exact words, but I have seen, you know, where they address, you know, the use of wine. But I hadn't seen anything towards that, and I want to give the right information.
Yeah,
because,
well,
it's easy to give the wrong information.
What was my answer, straightforward enough?
Yeah, and yes and no.
Yes and no.
Straightforward, because you told me what I already knew as far as the legal, you know, as far as the legal issues.
Uh-huh.
And that's where the problem that I have is, you know, people are getting in trouble because it is illegal, you know, but everybody knows that. But, you know, being a Christian, I want to kind of, you know, let them know, hey, if this is a sin, this is more of a reason that you shouldn't be doing it then.
Right, but it's...
Because it's illegal, you know, and that's...
Right, but
that's
even if they made it legal, Corey, and this is, I mean, I think in many ways you had a very good discernment set as you thought about it yourself, even before asking the question. But when you look at this, the ultimate issue that's going on here is that we want to be alert and sober-minded. So if they made marijuana legal, it would be just like the example you gave with wine. Paul says, take a little wine for your stomach, to Timothy. So he talks to Timothy about wine in a medicinal fashion. Wine is okay as well, as long as you're not getting drunk. If someone has wine at communion, I would not have any problem with that whatsoever, because the amount is such that it can't put you in an altered state of consciousness. There's some other arguments that could be used here as well, and that is, I know some kids, actually, that do not want to touch wine in any way whatsoever, because they don't ever want to get into a lifestyle where they aren't able to control their own appetite. So there are a lot of things to consider here, but the major issue, the macro issue in all of this, is that as Christians in particular, we want to be alert and sober-minded so that we can be great witnesses for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in everything that we do. So the principles are there. Go ahead.
I'm sorry to interrupt. So I'm just trying to make sure you're telling me that you do feel that it is a sin. So when I think it's a sin to get into an altered state of consciousness. And someone, you know, kind of back me up. So I'm not just saying it, you know, just to be saying it.
Yeah,
I don't want to be wrong, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and I appreciate you thinking through this with me right here on the broadcast, Corey.
Most definitely, man. I appreciate you for answering this question, man. God bless you.
God bless you, Corey. Appreciate your call. Of course, many drugs are legal that put one in an altered state of consciousness, so you have to evaluate whether God would approve their use. The abuse of legally prescribed drugs is wrong, just like the abuse of illegal drugs. A set of factors must be taken into account when it comes to legal drugs, and that's something that we should underscore as well in this conversation, because you can get a doctor to prescribe a legal drug to you. You can abuse that and suffer the consequences. Again, the principles here are straightforward. The temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You can't abuse your body. Simple. Therefore, gluttony is put in the same sentence with wine in the book of Proverbs. On the other hand, it's also very significant for you to realize that we are both physical and metaphysical, and therefore we can't abuse our minds. So we have to be stewards of the totality of the humanity that God has entrusted us with, because we're going to be giving an account when we stand before Him of what we did with our time, our talent, our treasure, one of those treasures being the physicality and the metaphysicality God has given to us as human beings. I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's what I'm going to do. So many people calling in from all over the world. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls, and one day when I'm traveling, we'll play that edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast right on the broadcast. So if you're hanging, please be patient. I'm going to get to you in the next hour. If you're calling in, here's the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. So stick with me. We'll be right back in a moment to take more of your calls.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. 2010 marks the 50th anniversary of the Christian Research Institute, and we've decided to tackle the problem of biblical illiteracy head on. In the time of the prophet Jeremiah, discovery of the book of the law was the catalyst that transformed the nation of Israel and brought them back to God. What happened in Jeremiah's day can surely happen again, but we need you to join us in the adventure. Tune in tomorrow and Wednesday and learn how you can be a part of this adventure of a lifetime. More details available at equip.org. You can also join Hank live with your questions by calling 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265 between 5:30 p.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word, this coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship.
Considering it's Mother's Day, a great time to honor your mom and husbands, to honor your wives.
bring them on a great vacation. Let them relax in the beautiful Caribbean sunshine.
To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online at equip.org.
Join us this year for the trip of a lifetime.